This week on Inside the Pocket, we're talking about things that we've been up to this week. We also get a recap of the Week 5 NFL games that are going on. We also have some NHL news, our wow stories of the week, what we would do if we were president. We have some conspiracy theories and our shower thoughts, of course, followed by a beer review. Let's go! To Inside the Pocket. We have a lot to talk about. With you as always here is Austin. With me is Gavin.
What's up, guys?
We have a bunch of shit to cover this week. We're in week 5 of the NFL and we're at the start of the NHL. That's going to be coming up here in a little bit, but first we're going to go ahead and dive into what we did this week. Gavin, did you have anything that went on for you this week that was entertaining?
Not a whole lot of shit going on this week. I want to give a big shout out to us. Episode 20 is what you're listening to this week. So just wanted to say thank you to anybody that's been listening so far. Be sure and share the shit with people. We see you guys. We see you guys out there sharing the podcast, telling people about it. We've had people buy some stuff from the merch store.
Thank you.
So we love you guys. And we want you to just keep it up, and we'll keep putting out cool shit for you guys to listen to.
Well, since you're a lazy asshole and don't do anything during the week, I went to the Blues home opener this week. We got our shit stomped.
Yes, we did.
5-1 was the final score, I do believe. I pretty much stopped paying attention after about 2 minutes into the third period because they scored like 3 fucking times in like 2 minutes, and yeah. I was pretty much upset. It was amazing to go to. I will say it was the best opening to a game I've ever been to, especially in the new Enterprise Center, seeing the new Jumbotron or whatever you want to call it, the block of TVs. It was really entertaining to see with the new players like Maroon and O'Reilly being there. It was kind of nice to see them get like the inauguration, like first season with the Blues. That was kind of cool to watch, but we still got our teeth kicked in, and that was not a fun thing to watch. It was fun to go to. I left feeling extremely defeated, and I hope that's not a feeling that I get used to with this Blues season. However, we did lose again to the Chicago Blackhawks in overtime.
Yep, we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. Other things, I got some shows coming back on. Big into the DC shows that are all on CW as well as Supernatural. They're all coming back on. Man in the High Castle is back on Amazon. If you haven't checked that show out, be sure and check it out. It's fucking badass. I've been playing a little Halo. Haven't done that in a while.
There you go.
Fucking terrible.
I was about
compared
to
what I was, but gonna get back into that a little bit. And I also wanted to let everybody know that we were gonna do it at one point and it kind of fell through, but a Cam Jansen interview may still be possible here in the near future. Yep. As well as a Pat Maroon. We're reaching out to some people, getting something into work, so we don't know if we will continue with the What's Up Wednesdays. We may keep doing them if we get the chance, but we may become a bi-weekly podcast if interviews start becoming possible, and you can look forward to some of that. We get a lot of hockey players possibly in the works. We're reaching out to some people to get some NFL players to possibly do some interviews, and I will be reaching out to some of my pro gaming contacts to maybe have some interviews as far as that goes. So interviews, stay on the lookout for those possibly in the near future.
Yeah, be ready for some cool conversations we'll have with some cool cats. Talking about cool cats, I had a couple of cool cats. I just wanted to give a little shout out while I was at school for the union this week that all said that they would keep an interest to the podcast and they might come listen. So I will know right now if you listen or not by when you message me on Facebook for calling you guys out. So if you don't, go fuck yourself. If you do, hey, thanks. Appreciate that a lot of it.
So we're going to go ahead and jump into some NFL talk right now.
So the Colts and the Patriots played on Thursday night. The Patriots pretty much took helm the entire game, defeating the Colts. But the Colts did have luck, show why he is still valuable. Well, he was trying to mount a fourth quarter comeback, but just happened to fall short.
Yeah, you kind of hope that the Colts can get to a point where they don't dig themselves such a hole. To where Andrew Luck actually can kind of dig himself out by the fourth quarter.
Yeah, because he shows that he has the ability to bring them back in a fourth quarter, but it just seems in the past few games, every time they're in the fourth quarter, they're just too far back for them to pull out. And that's what I agree with you. They just need to be able to hold them. Like, if they're down by 14 in fourth quarter, I still have faith in the Colts. But if you're down by a 3-possession lead or more, the Colts are probably out.
Yeah. What do you have for the next game?
For the next game, I got going up. The Browns hit another overtime game. I believe this is their third overtime game of the season. Yeah,
they're pretty much addicted to overtime games right now.
That they are. However, they pulled this one out with a field goal over the Ravens, which I called the Browns beating the Ravens. So that was one of my biggest calls up this week. Entertaining game, extremely low scoring. Really not a whole bunch of things happen, but it was just entertaining to see the Browns again go into overtime and end up winning the game in the final.
Pat Mahomes keeps Kansas City moving as they go to 5-0 against Jacksonville, shutting Jalen Ramsey up pretty quick. It was a 30-14 score to end the game, and it looks like Pat Mahomes did throw two interceptions, though. I don't know, actually, if one of those was done by Ramsey, but the Jacksonville Jaguars did get some things done, but it just wasn't enough as Kansas City was able to take that one, and Green Bay falls short to Detroit 31-23.
Before you get too far, it does show that the Chiefs defense can kind of stop an offense. They threw two interceptions and still ended up winning the game, so they may not have won the turnover battle, but the offense was still able to put enough points that giving a couple turnovers did not really fluctuate them winning or losing the game.
Yeah, and Kansas City really stepped up because they actually had four interceptions against Blake Bortles. So when people say that Kansas City's defense really can't do anything, not saying that Jacksonville's really the offensive powerhouse that you see in some of these other teams that are really going to give the Chiefs a run from their money, but really, if you ask me right now, Chiefs and Rams are the top two teams in the league.
Super Bowl. And that's
who we can kind of expect in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Until the playoffs, you know how the Chiefs are. They typically start off hot and end real bad, but with Mahomes, he might be a guy that changes that culture and go ahead and leads them all the way through.
Keep the fire burning.
I would not be surprised to see a Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl. And if that is the Super Bowl, I'm going to be pretty hyped, actually.
But like I was saying in the game, Green Bay versus Detroit, neither quarterback threw any interceptions, but it looks like Detroit's offense was able to put up enough points. Aaron Rodgers was not able to dig him out of this one, like I said, 23-31. And the Cincinnati Bengals beat Miami Dolphins to take their record to 4-1. Bengals are looking pretty good this year.
They are. They're on a pretty good roll.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a struggle early on in the game, but towards the end, they really put it together and were able to get it done. Mixon came back this week. Big game for me. The Falcons versus Pittsburgh. Atlanta's defense is just in a bad spot right now.
No, they're in a bad, bad spot.
They allowed 41 points this week. Matt Ryan he's played good this year. He's gotten some yards up, but it's one of those things that it seems like he's afraid to scramble right now.
Well, he's also getting up there in age, so I would see why he's not a guy who wants to scramble. However, you do see him run the ball out of the pocket, but he seems to only go through the center of the pocket when it collapses. He's not a guy going sideline to sideline.
He was sacked six times in this game, and a few of them were ones that I feel like he could have avoided, maybe picked up a couple yards. Just kind of a quiet game for them offensively compared to what we know they can do. But I don't know. We actually saw Matt Schwab come out for a little bit of the game. All I can say is I hope they pick it up next week. We're still on the continuum that the Falcons and the Colts have won and lost every week together. So, yeah,
so
still a continuing theme. So we win together and we suffer together.
Yep, we're a podcast group who have diehard feelings for certain teams, and those teams seem to be on the same exact pace right now.
It's a rough year to be a Falcons, Colts, and Blues fan. Right
yes,
now.
It is. Yes, it is. The Giants almost come back after a rough game. Odell Beckham Jr. was the highlighted game. Not only did he receive a touchdown, but he also threw for a 60-yard touchdown to Saquon Barkley. That, to me, is the highlight of the game, which kind of sucks they lost, because if just kind of like with the Dallas Cowboys game, when Odell had the giant catch against the Dallas Cowboys that everybody remembers, they still ended up losing that game. And that's a play that's going to be remembered forever. I don't know if this play will be remembered forever. However, if the Giants would have ended up winning, I think this would be a play that would have been remembered for years and years to come, that Odell threw a touchdown for 60 yards to Saquon Barkley, not only because it's a wide receiver throwing the ball to a running back, but because it's Odell throwing to the rookie who they're expecting to have a big career, Saquon Barkley. So you have two players that are huge people in the NFL doing a play together outside of like what the norm is. A
couple big things that are going on right now. You guys will know a little better than we are as we're recording this while these games are still going on. But Minnesota is currently ahead of Philadelphia right now, and Adam Thielen has set an NFL record. He's the first wide receiver to go for plus 100 receiving yards in his first five games of the season. And it's a pretty big deal because Adam Thielen was an undrafted player. They got picked up off waivers. And so it's good to see an underdog come into the league like that and really do some big things. And right now, currently, the Rams are losing to Seattle by just a possession. But like I said, you guys will know more. Let me ask you this, Austin, calling it right now, 24-31, Seattle leading with only a minute left in the third. You think the Rams are going to bring this one back?
I'm going to see them tying it up, and it's going to OT, and I'm going to go ahead and say that the Rams win in overtime on a touchdown, not a field goal. I think it goes to overtime. Rams get the ball. The Rams score a touchdown, and I'm going to go ahead and call it and say that it's going to be a passing touchdown to Cooper Kupp.
All right. Well, we'll see.
That's really specific, so if that shit happens,
you're going to look like a genius.
Yeah. However, people will not think that since they're going to be hearing this after the game.
Well, I did go ahead and call this game this week the Buffalo Bills.
Yep, you did.
Ended up beating Tennessee 13-12. Josh Allen went into this game with 666 passing yards. He had Satan on his side, totally called it, and they ended up winning the game. So Buffalo Bills are the team of the devil. They're going to start doing pretty decent, I think.
Close game, 13-12, I believe, was the final.
It was a close game, beat it by just a hair.
Lucky number 13.
Yep. And then the Jets also just decimated Denver and their defense 34-16. Are the Jets back?
No, they're not back. They're just having a good stroke of luck. I bet you next week they get decimated and their faces kicked in and all their teeth knocked out.
All right, we'll just have to see. They're 2-3 right now. But even everybody said the Jets were going to be the worst team this year, but still not as bad as the... Do you ever think you'll see a team as bad as the Browns were again?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Within our lifetime, we'll find another team
you'll
that
see
has...
another team that goes multiple seasons without winning a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think within our lifetime,
do you think it's
going to
be the Browns again?
It could be. I know within our lifetime, we've seen two teams go 0-16, and we're not that far along in our lives.
Yeah, so, but have you seen a team go like 1-31? I mean, that's a fucking crazy.
Yeah,
even still.
I know that's a crazy thing to happen, but I take it as a season at a time. For a team to go 0-16. That's fucking awful. That shouldn't happen. Yeah. You should at least win one game. There have been two teams within my lifetime to go 0-16. I would not be surprised if another team went 0-16.
All right. Well, the rest of the games are still yet to unfold. I'm going to go ahead and jump into a little bit of NHL that we touched on earlier. The Blues are off to a rough start, losing their first two games. Jake Allen is under a lot of fire right now as he has allowed 10 goals on 55 shots in two games, which isn't the best save percentage, but also it seems like the team as a whole isn't really doing what they need to be doing.
They're falling all over the ice.
Yeah, there's guys tripping on the ice. You know, they lost against the Blackhawks 5-4, but I hate 3-on-3 hockey for one, but the Blues just seem to find themselves caught off so many times. Yeah. Where they make one simple mistake and it just turns into an insane counter strike and they just can't recover from it. I don't think Jake Allen is the only problem. He does need to improve. You know, I understand during 3-on-3, you also can't let Taze get a breakaway on you.
Right.
I mean, he's a fucking incredible guy. He ends up getting the hat trick with that goal, but you can't put your goalie in that position. But if you are that goalie in that position, it's your rival team on home ice, and you know you're under scrutiny right now. You need to step the fuck up in those kind of situations.
Right.
But you can't really blame the goalie in that position. You know, you'd hope he'd make that save, but you can't blame your goalie.
No, and I'm not a big Jake Allen fan. I know you like Jake Allen a lot. However, this is one of the very few times I think we differ. Normally you defend Jake Allen and I'm normally the one against it. However, on this side, I believe that this is really not Jake Allen's fault at all. The way they were playing in overtime was far too aggressive, and then they ended up giving a easy saucer pass to Toews, and he comes in and just shits on the goalie. That's what he does.
And it's amazing they go that aggressive when it comes to 3-on-3 when you sit there and watch the rest of the game and
they play
pretty passive.
And they're not aggressive at all. The Blues are the least aggressive team in the NHL. They are so passive. They're expecting they play like a team that passes well, but they actually pass like shit. Like, they assume that their passes are going to be right on dime going through the defense and they're going to be right in spot, bop, bop, bam, score. But it never happens. They always do one shitty pat. Like, they'll have a good one, then a shitty one, and it ruins everything. And then we end up getting beat down the ice because we were still playing as if that was supposed to be a perfect pass.
And I've said for years, the Blues need to ditch the dump chase fucking gameplay.
Yes, we do.
They've done it forever. We struggle to get out of the defensive zone. And then once we get out out of there, we get into the neutral zone and then just dump it and chase it. And we're a team that gets outskated as far as speed goes. We're not
fast enough to do it.
We're not fast enough to do this. We're a team. You got guys now. We need to improve this passing and take these shots on goal. But a lot of these guys, and I understand we have young guys and we got new guys. We don't have the chemistry like some of these teams. You look at the Jets, they had 17 of 19 starting players returning.
Right.
You got the Blackhawks that have a lot more chemistry right now than we do.
However, the Blackhawks also missed the playoffs last year, so that's a team I think that we personally should have beaten.
Yeah, but we also missed the playoffs last year by one game. But missing the playoffs is missing the playoffs.
Yeah, but there's a difference between being last in your position and then missing it by one game.
Yeah. Either way, we played the Blackhawks pretty good last year. You look at how we played the Jets. I expected us to lose against the Jets. We always struggle against the Jets. We've played relatively good against the Blackhawks. And seeing as how that game went, scoring the first goal and then scoring a couple in rapid succession in the third period, I really thought we were going to end that game with a win. We ended up not winning it. But I really don't think Jake Allen is the problem. I wrote an article on the website, InsideThePocketPodcast.com. Check it out. Right after the Jets game, on why I don't think Allen is the issue. Our offense needs to get a little more aggressive, tune up the accuracy on their shots, pick up the speed and aggression. And by doing that, it's going to give Jake Allen some confidence in his team around him, take the pressure off of him a little bit, and I feel like he'll be a little more calm and relaxed to make some of those big saves in the big game situations. I feel like Jake Allen is the type of goalie that can keep you in a game when your team is playing well around him, but he's not the type of goalie that you can literally carry your team on. And that's nothing against Jake Allen.
Yeah. He's not...
I'll admit, Jake Allen isn't one of the best goalies in the league. He's not. Is he one of the worst? No, I don't think he is. I think he's a decent goalie that if you put a team around him that can score he's going to keep you in the games and you could be a decent team. But Jake Allen is not the type of goalie that's going to sit there and save 40 goals a night while your team only scores one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I just see that the Blues being like, I know we added Ryan O'Reilly, but we only had one 30-goal scorer on our team last season, and
Tarasenko.
And
he didn't even lead the team in points. You had Shen leading the team in points, but...
Sure, but our highest goal scorer is he barely reached 30, which is good. I mean, barely saying that, but 30 is really good. Like, hitting 30 in a season is phenomenal, but I think the Blues need to be a more scoring team for Jake Allen to be the goalie that we keep back there. Because as a team of what we are not a high-scoring team. No. We haven't been a high-scoring team for years. We normally win games with 1 to 3 goals. Very rarely do the Blues hit 5, 6, or 7.
And so the Blues really need to step it up offensively. It's really an overall, the team needs to improve on every facet of their game right now. And I feel like that'll bring some confidence to the goaltending, which in turn will make us an even better team. But we can't sit here and blame Jake Allen strictly when you have games where the Blues are getting 42 shots on net and only scoring one.
That's just the type of team we are. That's where I was
getting at. And then the defense hasn't been there for him. The defense has to protect Jake Allen. And I've said this even since the beginning of last season. We let him take an enormous amount of goals. There are times where literally you're sitting there watching the game and you think we're on the penalty kill. We just sit there in defensive zone and let the other team pass the puck around. We have got to get that puck out of our fucking defensive zone and control it for shots.
And we need to have a higher controlling in the offensive zone. I feel like every time a team comes down on us on the ice, they're at least we're in the defensive zone for 15 seconds or more. If we take the puck down, we either dump it and don't get in there, or when we do get in there, we make a bad pass within the first 10 seconds and we're out of there.
Or we take a shot, they freeze the puck, and it goes to face-off.
Yeah, I just feel like we don't ever seem to stay in the offensive zone for 15 to 20 seconds.
We're struggling on rebounds off of shots, and we're struggling on passing in the offensive zone.
And we're really struggling on finishing our shots. We've had, already with 2 games in the season, we have hit crossbars, I think, 6 times. I know in the game when I went to the home opener, we hit the crossbar 3 times on shots, and nobody was there to be a rebound to put it back into the net. And I know we did it 2 times against the Blackhawks for certain. So that's 5 right there, where we had certain goal-scoring opportunities that nobody was there to be a rebound or a backup to try and put it back into the net. I think we need to get somebody else crashing to the net. net and not staying so laxed. Again, we just need to be a more aggressive offense.
And we're not here to bash the Blues and sit there and talk shit on them. We're big fans ourselves. But just like you rely on your friends to tell you the truth when you're being a fucking jackass, we are true fans, and we're here to tell the Blues when they are not performing the way we know we can. We're just calling it as we see it.
Yeah.
We're not sitting here telling you we don't love you still. We're just simply stating what we're seeing. Not that either of us are pro hockey analysts or anything like that, but I feel like the way we have watched these games in the past couple seasons and the feedback that we're seeing, it's not demeaning to anybody. It's purely constructive. You got to call a team out when you see what they're doing wrong, and you hope that the Blues internal organization is seeing some of these things and doing what they can do to adjust these things, and hopefully Yao can figure it out and get the Blues back on track at their next game.
Well, aside from the Blues, the Capitals, for their home opening, they ended up winning 7-0, shutting out another team, so looking good for the Capitals. However, losing 6-7 in overtime to the Penguins on their first game of their season, which is upsetting, but for a team to put up 6 points and then 7 points in their first two games, not much of a layback since coming off of the Cup.
The offense is kicking right there, and you see that, you know, that shutout coming in the second game that shows some defensive fixes there. Also, they were playing that's a big game for them. That's almost like a Blues Blackhawks opener for the defending Stanley Cup champions to play Pittsburgh. That's just plagued them for years.
Right.
That's a big game for them going into it. It was a tough loss for them, I'm sure, but it looks like they bounced back just dominating their second game.
Right.
Do you see the Cavs returning this year to the playoffs?
I would love to see the Capitals return this year. Aside from the Blues, I would say that the Capitals are my second favorite team. One, because they have Oshie, who came from the Blues, and two, because of Ovechkin, and I have like a hard-on for Ovechkin. I just think he's one of the best players in the league, and I think he's always been overshadowed because of Crosby, and since they were like relatively at the same time in the draft class, I do believe. So I just want to see Ovechkin just thrive, and I want to see him score, and I want to see them beat the Penguins and just shit on people. So, like, that's another guy that whenever it comes to playoff season, if the Blues aren't in it, I'm looking for the Capitals. So I am excited to see them come up so strong, even though I'd like to see the Blues come up that strong. But, you know, that's just kind of how sports work.
Yeah, Vegas ended up losing to Philly 5-2 in their home opener. Gritty, just a big addition for Philly this year.
Oh, yeah.
Their new mascot looks like a crazy homeless person. Definitely carried them through there, but they were also able to bounce back in their second game, winning in the shootouts 2-1 against Minnesota. Do you see Vegas returning for the playoffs again after making it all the way to the Stanley Cup in their debut season?
You know, I said it last year, whenever the Cup was happening, and I'm going to stick to it. I do not see the Vegas Knights making it to the playoffs.
Even with the pretty nice additions they made this year.
I understand they made additions, but I'm going to be the hater again. I hated on them when they first came in. I'm going to be the hater again this year until I'm proven different, and then I'll be on the train for the Vegas Knights. I did not believe a team in its first year could make it that far into the playoffs.
And they did, so you're wrong.
And they did, and I was wrong, and I took that. I took it on my sleeve. I was wrong. They made it to the Cup, and then I rooted for them against the team I wanted to win. I wanted the Capitals to go to the Cup, but then when it was against Vegas, I really wanted Vegas to win.
Which we did actually call that Cup at the beginning of the playoffs.
We did. However, again, I just don't, for a team to make it that high and then lose, I think that's way more detrimental to your mental game. I don't think they'll be able to bring themselves up. One, they're a brand new team. Oh, let's go to the Cup and it'll be the first time ever. Okay, you did that, but you lost. Now they're coming back there, and it's, hey, we made it to the Cup last year. Yeah, well, that was our first year. Now we got to do it again. We got to go through the whole season again.
And I don't think it's that kind of pressure that's put on them. Every player that you hear that's from Vegas right now says that the atmosphere is just electric. The city is taken to them with open arms, especially after they did so well. And I agree with you in the sense that I feel like after that first season, they were like, okay, we did this amazing thing. But I don't feel like the pressure's really on them to continue that this year. I feel like the city rallied around them, stepping up and giving them an amazing first season to go for. And then now, you know, despite whether they go all the way again or they do just halfway decent, the city's going to be rallied behind them regardless what they do. I still feel like the Golden Knights we will be watching in postseason hockey this year.
And I just have to disagree. I just believe that somebody else will step their game up and surpass the Vegas Knights.
All right. Well, we'll say it right now. Episode 20, mark it down in your little notebooks. And at the end of this hockey season, we'll see who's correct on this one.
So Gavin has the Vegas Knights making the playoffs.
Vegas Knights at least make the playoffs this year.
And I'm saying they do not.
All right.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
Do you have any other NHL or sports-related news?
No.
All right, well, then I guess we're going to go ahead and get into some segments, starting off with our wow story of the week.
Wow.
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 All right, Austin, what kind of story do you got this week that's just going to make us say wow?
Well, we all know Banksy. You know who he is. Don't you know who he is?
Oh, I know who he is. And if our listeners don't know who he is, he's an amazing street artist from the UK that does amazing street art. If you ever seen a picture of some graffiti, Banksy probably did it.
That's pretty vague, but yeah. Yeah, he does really famous street art.
I mean, he makes such good street art that it sells for how much?
$1.4 million on Friday. He made an iconic painting of a woman holding a balloon.
A little girl, actually.
Well, yeah, a girl holding a balloon. She's a woman.
She's a woman child.
She's a woman child. Holding a balloon sold for $1.4 million on Friday. And immediately after it was bought, the picture went through a shredder, much like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles enemy, the Shredder. It tore that motherfucker up. Yeah,
it was actually in a picture frame. Yeah. It went to the gallery in a picture frame. Little did they know that the picture frame itself had a shredder on the bottom of it. And as soon as somebody bought it,
it just ran.
All of a sudden, the picture started dropping out the bottom, and it just shredded it.
Yep. So he had purposely set up for someone to buy his painting for such and such, because I think it's one of his only paintings he had ever put up for auction. And to see it get sold for $1.4 million, showing the value of just a painting that a simple man had made, he then ran it through a shredder immediately afterward that was built into the frame. Kind of a big fuck you to people with money.
Yeah. And they actually, at one point, saw a guy dressed in a trench coat with a hat, escaping the facility. They think Banksy was actually there at the auction and had a remote that shredded it while he was there. So they think Banksy was there to watch it get sold and then did it himself.
Oh, shit. So they think he actually shredded the papers himself. I wonder if he could get in any trouble for that.
I don't know. I mean, it's his work.
But once it's sold.
I mean, if he gave up the rights to sell it, but I don't know.
But it was bought.
And I actually had, I'm going to bring this in before we get to the actual segment, but Banksy shredding that painting actually portrays what that picture was supposed to convey, because it was a little girl reaching out for a balloon that she had let go of. So the girl with the red balloon, you know, this event recreated the subject of Lost captured in that painting. So the person that bought that painting and watched it go through the shredder supposedly mirrored the feeling that that little girl must have felt losing her balloon. So this really just adds to the art that Banksy wanted to create with the painting. So the person that bought the painting felt what the little girl in the painting
Holy
was feeling.
Shit.
So it's really just
this Banksy is top notch. Yeah. This dude knows how to convey like feelings through art.
Yeah.
More than
so
other
it was
people.
Really just the fact that he did this wasn't necessarily to sell it or make money or get his stuff out there. He really just did it as a ploy to portray more of a like live art like scenario.
Right.
So now that the people that bought it feel the same thing that the girl in the painting felt.
Wow.
So it was pretty amazing, I thought.
That's a $1.4 million feeling.
Yeah, so let me know what it feels like to lose that much money. Huh. Do you think that, did it say whether the auction house got that money or after it was shredded they had to be like, all right, well, fuck it?
I did not look that much into it. I just kind of looked
into
the...
the person would be like, okay, well, fuck you. I'm not giving you $1.4
million.
That's
what I would assume probably happened. Yeah.
But still a big loss for the fucking art gallery, too, thinking they're about to get $1 million, and they don't.
Yeah.
My last story of the week, not as tragic, but still going to make you think about society. A man in Iowa claims that a ghost planted meth on him after he was attacked with an axe.
Was he attacked by the ghost with an axe?
I don't know. The authorities arrested a man out of Iowa that was on drugs and falsely reported charges after he told them an amazing story that possibly involved a ghost. the Sheriff's Department out of Iowa said that they responded to a home in Lynette Drive in West Monroe area after getting a call from a man who said that he had been attacked with an axe. The man claimed somebody stabbed him in the head with a bladed weapon. Deputies were dispatched to the area and they found the caller, Michael L. Ottenberry, at the front door, cursing at people who obviously were not there. Deputies said that the man was not calm and also freaked out at them, so they placed him in handcuffs for their own safety. And upon looking him over, they said they found no indication that he had been hit or stabbed with anything. They apparently looked into some things. He also told them that there were intruders inside the home, so they swept the home inside and out, but they said they never found anybody. They did find a small bag of meth, though, on his nightstand, and said they also found a gram of meth on him. When asked about the meth, he told them that the intruders or a ghost must have planted it on him. He was charged with giving the police false information and was prosecuted for possession of a controlled substance. Now,
this dude just was doing meth.
You think this dude was doing meth, or do you think it's like the ghosts of some drug dealers?
No, he was doing meth.
Just think it's meth?
Yeah, I think he was just doing meth.
How crazy would it be, though, if actually there was like ghosts of a criminal?
Yeah, but that didn't happen.
I'm just saying, let's go into a hypothetical now. How blown would your own mind be if actual ghosts came in there and not only fucked with you, but you called to get help because these ghosts are fucking with you? Now, the fact that he said that
the
fact that you were saying these were real people and stuff obviously leads you to believe that this dude was just strung out. But like, say there were actual ghosts and stuff and you called the police, you're like, I don't know what I need right now, but I got these spirits fucking with me and I need somebody over here to help me. And then you show up and they're like, what the fuck is this? And you're like, I don't know. There's fucking ghosts in my house. I don't even find it that crazy that there's drugs in here right now because I'm dealing with fucking ghosts. And then they're like, well, you're coming to jail. And you're like, what the fuck?
I'd want to know where the ghost got the meth, because I don't think ghosts can just materialize meth. I don't think that's something that ghosts
can do. A drug dealer. That maybe lived in his apartment beforehand, because like drug dealers live in apartments like most of the time.
Like, just had some stash somewhere in the building that they found. But they swept the building. They saw no, like, indication of anything odd being there.
Ooh, or this is the ghost. If this guy has meth, maybe he deals a little bit. And this is the ghost of somebody that he may be killed in a drug deal gone bad.
Or somebody who overdosed.
And they came back for payback.
Ooh, I could see that. I could see that more than a drug dealer ghost. I could see somebody coming back from the grave to be like, well, now we're going to go ahead and get you thrown in jail for giving us fentanyl with our meth. I could definitely see that being a case. However, I still want to know where they're materializing meth. Unless the dude looks like he does meth.
Yeah, we're looking at the picture right now.
So,
and dude definitely looks like he's done meth from time to time.
Yeah, definitely something he's done recreationally. My best bet is he's just doing meth, and he is a distributor of meth, and they found meth on him. So, yeah.
But that is a wild alibi.
It is a wild alibi.
Sir, how do you explain the meth that's on your nightstand and upon your person?
Fucking ghosts, bud.
Fucking ghosts did it. They even stabbed me in the head. Look, sir, you're perfectly fine.
Nope. No, I'm not.
It's a ghost wound. You can't see it.
It's a ghost wound.
My soul has been stabbed.
Wow. Wow, your soul has been stabbed. That is an eternal wound that will never heal fully.
All right.
Well, I tell you what, I got one more thing that makes me say wow, Gavin.
What's that?
Late ad reads. The store that lets me go ahead and blow these goofy clouds is what my wow story of the week is.
Well, the store that brings you those goofy clouds and those wow story of the weeks, what's the name of that store?
It's the Vapor Store, Gavin.
I think they got a couple locations, don't they?
They do have more than one. There are actually two.
All right. I think the first one is located in Lake St. Louis off Lake St. Louis Boulevard. Second one you can find in O'Fallon, Missouri off Mexico Road, right at the corner of Highway K in Mexico, right next to the Quick Trip. They got some badass flavors. They got all the mods, tanks, anything you really need. You need some coils. You need some new juice. Check them out.
Yeah, just go in there. Let them know that us boys here at Inside the Pocket are just going ahead and telling you, go in there and just take some shit. I mean, Not take it, but you know what I'm saying. Go in there and buy shit.
Yeah, go in there, spend a little bit of money, or even just go in there. Don't even spend some money. Yeah, just walk in and there. Be like, hey, guys, I'm not in the market right now, but I'm just letting you know. I listen to Inside the Pocket, and that's the only reason I know you're here. And then they'll be like, damn.
Damn. Right. They did something. Go in there and just yell our name and walk out. Give no context.
Or if you got some friends that vape, be sure and tell them and be like, hey, man, I know you have no idea what you're talking about. Who I'm talking about right now, but I listen to this podcast. You should like and subscribe and comment on their podcast, and then you should check out the vape store because they're sponsored by them. And
yeah, you'll be saving your friends
some
money.
Goofy clouds, and you'll get some laughs. Maybe you'll
be
some
doing
cries.
Good stuff. Tell them, go ahead, if they'd like to blow those goofy clouds, tell them to check out our store and buy a Goofy Clouds t-shirt.
Yeah, they can rep it in the street and look fucking hot. Maybe get a bitch in the sheets.
That's right. Goofy clouds and goofy bitches. That's what comes along with it.
All right. Well, you know another thing that goofy bitches like? Conspiracy theories. And that's our next segment.
That they do.
All right, Austin. What kind of strange-ass shit do you got to talk about this week?
Well, what I have to talk about actually happened today while we were watching the games. Do you remember a few days ago when we were in your driveway, when we were taking my truck to go get it inspected, and we were just coming up with shirt ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the shirt idea that we came up with that we thought was very highly controversial, but we thought was hilarious as fuck?
I do. It was actually going to depict an image of the Christian Messiah, Jesus Christ, jerking off, and it was just going to say, Jesus fucking Christ.
That was the shirt that we were going to post, and it was just going to have Jesus masturbating, and then it was going to say Jesus fucking Christ.
Because we're edgy.
Yeah, we're edgy, and I think that's something that is hilarious, like just play on words and a good visual for people to laugh. However, we decided not to actually make the shirt because we thought of the possible
implications.
Yeah, the implications and the outrage that would happen of it. However, today we were also talking about that shirt while watching the games, and no more than, I'd say, 10 seconds into our conversation about the shirt, we explained the shirt.
A loud thunderstruck.
It started pouring down rain, and then it turned all the fucking TVs off for the games and our bar.
So God was kind of like, yo, if you're going to talk about my kid jerking off, no,
we're
going to
ruin your fucking football.
So we
have pictures to prove it of the TVs being out. We went ahead, both of us literally, when it immediately went out, we both looked at each other like, there's no fucking way that just happened. So we took pictures of the TVs being out and shit right after we had talked about the Jesus fucking Christ shirt.
So now we're debating our whole lives on maybe God is real. And he's just like, you know what, guys? Chill.
Is that a sign to say don't put the shirt up, or is this giving us more leverage to go ahead and make the shirt?
I don't know.
Do you think the TV's going out is a hey boys?
Maybe that was God saying stop everything. Genius idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Was he saying no, stop that idea, or was he going yo,
stop the press? This is the greatest shirt of all time.
This is what we need to do.
You guys decide. You let us know.
You let us know. If you want a Jesus fucking Christ shirt of a picture of Jesus masturbating, you
put it
go
on
ahead
our
and
Facebook,
let us know.
Maybe write us a review. Shout out to the two new reviews that we got on our podcast this week. Still a 5-star podcast. We appreciate everybody that does it. But if you haven't yet, seriously, get on the iTunes. Get an iPhone. If you don't have one, grab your friend's iPhone. Go to the podcasts. Look up Inside the Pocket. And give it 5 stars and just write a tiny little review. It helps us a ton. We've actually gotten a ton of listens in the past couple weeks from people doing it. We're getting up there, and we appreciate everybody that has listened frequently, occasionally, or even just once. We appreciate it, and we're just asking for a little help.
Yeah, we're just trying to get people out. Just like we said, you help us, we help you.
You help us, we'll suck your dick.
We even had talks today about maybe doing a raffle type situation in the future.
We may be doing something at a local bar, chance to win some fucking money.
Shit like that. So the more people we have that listen or are engaged with us, we'll be doing more stuff to be engaged with you.
My conspiracy goes along with that a little bit. So God shut off the TVs while we were watching our football games.
That he did.
Have you ever heard of the Truman Show?
I have heard of The Truman Show. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, guy whose whole life is just filmed.
Yeah.
I feel like that I've always felt this way a little bit, but I feel like maybe either in foreign countries or extraterrestrials have access to pretty much every camera that there is. Now, cars have backup cameras. We got webcams. We got fucking smart TVs. We got everything, whether it's audio or visual. I feel like at any time, everybody's life is broadcast somewhere. And if it's not, you know, you look at Twitch TV with streamers, and a lot of them are even doing like just typical real life streams of them living their life. I feel like in the near future, if it's not happening already, basically all of our lives will be televised or recorded, and people can just tune in and watch life.
I certainly hope that's not happening right now, because if anybody's watching me, they're going to get a lot of working, napping, jerking off, and drinking.
Maybe that's what they're into. People like stuff they can relate to.
I guess. I'm a pretty basic guy. Those are pretty much the four foundations to my life. There might be a bunch of
guys with no hands and can't crawl that are just like, you know what? I want to just imagine my life being able to crawl and jerk off. And this guy's got a pretty interesting life to me.
Let's talk about that. Could you imagine not having a hand? Like, hands at all?
Just not having hands.
Like you can walk. Like, you're not paralyzed. You just don't have hands. A normal guy with
no hands.
Yeah. And you can't jerk off. Now you can rub nubs.
Are you a good-looking guy?
No, I'm talking about, like, it's you. You is you. Oh, me? And you don't have hands.
I feel like if I didn't have hands, I'd still be pretty famous. Because I'd just come up with some fucked-up shit to either talk about or do with no hands. A lot of but stuff I mean, nowadays
like,
you
I'm
can...
I'm talking about just, like, the jerk-off situation. Because you jerk off, don't you?
Yeah.
I jerk off.
But I also have a girlfriend, so right, if I right, couldn't do that, I'd just off. Do less jerking off and right, more.
You do less jerking off, but you still jerk off.
Yeah, everybody does.
So imagine if you didn't have hands.
And to the girls out there, if your guy jerks off, chill.
That's actually good for you. They're doing that now so they can have sex longer for later.
Yeah, it's not that he's not interested in you or he wants to do some other things. He's just doing what he's got to do to last longer for you. You got to clear the pipes so then you get a fresh
dudes feel fresh like they're gonna die if they don't jerk off.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Nothing against you, you're probably lovely and he probably loves you very much.
Yeah, he loves you with all of his heart, can't content. But again, let's get back. If you didn't have hands and you couldn't jerk off, what would be your move?
Like, how would I do it myself?
Yeah.
Get a fleshlight, pinch it between my nubs.
So you would have to go to a store, buy a fleshlight, and do it? Okay.
Or sex doll.
Okay. Mine was much more gruesome, what I thought of.
All right, let's hear it.
I thought of just, like, doing, like, a thing of SpaghettiOs in the microwave.
What the fuck is wrong with you? How do you go from a day and age where sex toys are readily available and quite popular, you're like, let's fuck a can of SpaghettiOs?
Because hear me out.
And you can't microwave the can.
No.
You're gonna kill yourself.
No, you.
This guy
no.
had no hands and he killed himself cooking some SpaghettiOs. No,
you get the SpaghettiOs. Or, you get the SpaghettiOs in a bowl.
Okay.
You warm them up. You get the bowl into a plastic bag or two, and you take the bags around your penis. Now they're nice and warm.
This seems like so much fucking work. Or you could just grab a fleshlight.
I guess. But I'm saying, like, you'd have to go out and buy one. Like, people...
You're
like,
wasting food.
I have SpaghettiOs.
You need you a microwave now?
They're inside the bag. They're clean. You can pour them back out of the bowl and have a nice meal after just you get done like, jerking
thanks,
off.
Thanks, babe, and then eat the SpaghettiOs.
Yeah,
you're a fucked up individual, you know that?
Okay, maybe I am. I don't know. I just thought that
Oh, no,
maybe,
there's no maybe in this conversation.
Well, I'm a fucked up individual, then. I don't know. I was thinking about fucking a bag of SpaghettiOs. That was my input.
All right, well, I'm glad you did it. This is America, so if that's how you feel, it'd be un-American of me to judge you for it.
All right, that's
2018,
what I like.
We're fucking SpaghettiOs.
We're fucking SpaghettiOs.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and jump into our next segment, which normally comes before this segment, but I fucked up during editing, so enjoy this one out of order. This is what we would do if we were president of the United States.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday. Assassin did it on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
Okay, so if in the event this world were in such a fucked up situation that one of us idiots became the president of the United States, Austin, let me hear what you would do.
Well, if the world landed in an event to where I am president, I would assume we're at some type of nuclear disaster. And with that, I think every person should have their own right to use rainwater to their own content. And right now, currently in the United States, it is illegal to capture rainwater and distill it.
That's one of those fucked up laws that are just so stupid.
You are not allowed to capture rainwater and use it to your own disposal. You cannot capture it and use it to feed your plants in the future. You cannot capture it, distill it, and use it as drinking water. You're not allowed to capture rainwater in general. If you are caught using rainwater, you can be fined up to $1,000 and 10 years in prison, I believe is what the minimum sentence for it is.
Yeah, but what about those people, I guess you can't, like, store it, but I know back in the day, like, our grandmother used to have one of those things out in the yard that would collect the rainwater to tell you how much it rained. But yeah, I guess but they just got to dump it out.
It's not enough to do anything.
Yeah, it's like, not like a mass store. Yeah. So you're saying people can't put out, like 10,000 20-gallon troughs and just collect hundreds of thousands of gallons of water.
You cannot collect rainwater. You could probably do a thing like that where it gauges how much it rained. And no one's going to bat an eye because it's probably like a cup full.
Yeah.
But if you have people who have drums and drums and drums of water, they could then distill it and sell rainwater. They could use it for multiple different purposes. They could use it for plants. They could use it for feeding animals. They could use it for themselves to where they never have to buy actual water. They could use it for their own house plumbing.
So is collecting snow then technically illegal also?
I would assume it would be illegal. However, I wonder if that could possibly be a loophole. I wonder if collecting snow is illegal.
Snow, not rain. Suck
yeah, I wonder if you could do that. If you can collect snow.
Back in the day, we used to collect snow and make snow ice cream.
True, we did used to do that. It is good. However, rainwater, illegal to collect. Fuck that. Let's make that shit allowed because I think water companies in general are super corrupt and fucked up anyway because some of them make their bottles using rat poison as one of the chemicals for the plastic.
That's just a way that they're trying to control the population.
Yeah, I think it's a way they're trying to control the population. I believe if you have the means to collect rainwater and use it to your own disposal, I believe that's something that you should be able to do.
Well, speak of population control, we could probably use some of it on some of the people that I'm going to talk about. Because if I were the president, I'm going to limit how checks are used. It's 2018. We
like
don't
a
need
checkbook checks?
Yeah, we don't need written checks anymore. We don't need fucking 76-year-old Martha writing a fucking check for her groceries anymore.
You know, I agree with you to this before you go ahead and get in your point. When I pay for rent at my apartment complex, cash is not allowed. You have to do a money order.
Which is fucking dumb.
Or a cashier's check. You can't even do a normal check. I cannot write a check in my checkbook and give it to them. They will not accept it. I have to either do a money order or a cashier's check.
Because they
want to
make sure the check's not going to bounce. They don't
Correct.
Got time for that bullshit.
Correct. And I
just
understand
like I don't got time for that bullshit when I'm trying to get my groceries.
Right. However, I just think it's stupid that they won't take a check or cash. Like, if I come up with you with the cash, there's
no
balancing.
Saying,
like, I have the cash.
And that's where I'm saying there would be certain limitations to how checks are allowed to be used. Obviously, paying a bill, I'm not waiting in line for you to pay a bill. You can still send your checks
right,
off.
But they should be able to accept cash then as well. Like, if I walk up there with 900 and whatever
and that's different.
Cash,
that's a place
like,
where you go to pay that bill. But even, like, people that send their bills out, which even still do internet banking, you fucking
right.
ancient fucking person.
Did you know some places don't accept internet banking?
Yeah, and it's
fucking
retarded. They need to
retarded.
Get with the fucking times.
It's fucking retarded.
And so, you know, I was last week I was at work. We ran to Schnucks. Got some food out of their little deli area, and I'm going through the line, and these two older people, literally, they had like 10 items, and it took them like 15 minutes to get through the line, because the one lady's writing the check, and the old guy's arguing about whether or not he gets like 35 cents because of his Schnucks reward points, and that also led me to this point where baby boomers always complain that millennials are babies and we're sensitive and we complain about everything, but I don't think I've ever seen a millennial complain about their fucking Schnucks points to save them 35 cents. We whip out our fucking debit card or our phone now that has our card on it, we scan the shit, and we keep it fucking moving. We don't have time to chill at grocery stores. We have to get home and watch The Office and cry about our depression.
I have literally before paid for people in line in front of me who took too long. At Schnucks, where I live, I did have one time where a guy was in line with a woman, and they were ringing their stuff out, and they rang up, I think it was fruit. They rung up fruit, and he went, no. This is on sale. And she was like, well, it's not popping up on my computer. And he's like, well, it says it on your stands. And she's like, well, I don't have it on here. And he's like, well, it's for sale. And I went, I will pay it.
The 3 cents that he saved.
I will pay the dollar he's going to lose. I will pay for it. Knock it off and put it on mine. I will pay for it. I will give him a dollar to give you to knock off so his fucking thing counts. I don't give a shit. I'm not sitting here for 10 minutes so you guys can run and scan it and get it through your computer and make the system right. Let's fucking go.
That's another reason that millennials probably complain about the pay wages right now. We should make a little extra than people made before us so we can pay to get their old asses out of line because they take too goddamn long.
Yeah, I will pay anytime I'm in line if somebody does that. I will pay
5% of my annual income if I can speed up all the old people around me.
Yes, if I can speed up lines around me. That's another thing. Like, people, how long people just take in lines in general. Not even just old people. Just in general. Like, people have, like, a lot of stuff. And when it gets rang out, they'll just sit there and talk to the cashier for another 30, 45 seconds. Like, I'm like, let's fucking go.
Some of us have terrible lives we're trying to deal with right
now.
Yeah,
I'm already sad. I don't need to be sad in Schnucks. Yeah. I'd like to be sad at home with my ice cream and my dog.
While I try to jerk off no hands.
Yeah. And watch weird shit with my SpaghettiOs that I'm about to eat.
I want to fuck some SpaghettiOs and look up some conspiracy theories and listen to some Inside the Pocket podcast.
That's exactly what I want to do.
All right. Well, now that we've pretty much covered our conspiracy theories, we're going to go ahead and get into one of my new favorite segments to do for you guys, and that is our shower thoughts segment. Shower thoughts. Before we jump into our shower thoughts, we're going to go ahead and recap the later 4 games of the afternoon before we get into the Sunday night game. Oakland and LA Chargers end with a LA victory over Oakland 26-10. Minnesota outscores the returning Super Bowl champs 23-21. Arizona finally wins a game against San Francisco since Jimmy G is still out 28-18. And the LA Rams come back to keep their season perfection going 5-0 against Seattle. Todd Gurley is just fucking amazing.
Todd Gurley is just the best running back in the NFL. I just can't stop. Hands down. He's got 7 touchdowns in 5 games. This is his second game with 3 touchdowns in a game. Holy fuck. The dude just can't be stopped.
The dude is amazing. If you have him, congratulations. If you don't,
sucks to suck.
T's and P's for your fucking fantasy league because the guy that has him is probably going to fucking win your league.
Yeah.
Now we're going to jump into our actual shower thoughts. One of these that we found would be, if a woman does not give birth to a girl, she has broken a tradition stretching back to the beginning of time.
Meaning as if she's not continuing lineage?
Basically. I mean, a woman, if she has a daughter, her lineage isn't necessarily continuing because the man's name takes over that. So it's not like a name lineage. But if you think about it, like, if you're a girl, your mom had to have you. And for her to be born, a woman had to have her. And for her to be born, a woman had to have her. So all the way until the beginning of time, it was women having women. But also, when you think about it, too, would be...
It'd be the same for a man.
Yeah, it would be the same for the man. So the only thing that a lineage can truly continue would be if a woman has both a son and a female. Because... And really, the lineage continues no matter what, if it's a man, because the name carries most of the time. Not saying, you know, whatever.
Right. But, well, nowadays, it would change because it would be the male's last name.
Like, when typically, you look at us, we're two brothers that have no sister.
Right.
So, from our mom to the beginning of time, a woman had to have a daughter for that to continue. But now it's over.
Because me and you
so really,
are both male.
If we have daughters...
Would it restart?
No, it would continue because our wives.
Oh, it'd go off their lineage now.
Yeah, so really a man only continues if a man is born. But anytime a woman is born, it still continues that thing. Like if our parents would have only had a daughters, then the male lineage would end because other men, you know, claim that genetic.
Yeah, and that would be their lineage.
Ooh.
So a female can only continue. Yeah, so it's the same thing. Yeah, a male can continue a male's lineage, and only a female can only continue a female's lineage as long as they have the same sex. So, like, a female, if she only has daughters, that's the end of the male lineage. If a female only has male lineage, that's the end of the female, but the continuant of the males. Now, if they have male and female, both get to continue.
Yes. So the only way, really, for a lineage to continue is if a woman has a boy and a girl.
Yeah. Mm. So if not, one lineage is going to die.
Yeah. Because it's hard to trace back our mom's lineage because the female names change every time they're married.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or even if they're not married, normally children take the father's name.
Right, right.
But that's still kind of wild if you really think about how far it's supposed to date back, like the pattern of it.
Yeah, but I just think it can be reopened. Just like if mom had us and then we have daughters, does that reopen mom's lineage because we only had daughters? So mom had us. We had girls.
No, it doesn't open hers again. It goes over to our wife's side or the girl.
Oh, so we're just saying it only goes with that sex. So each sex only goes with that. So if you have females, the wife won. Essentially, in a win-lose scenario, if you have boys, the boys' lineage won. If you have girls, the girls' lineage won.
And if you have both, you both get to win and continue on. And then it breaks off in both directions.
Ah.
Yeah. If you were on the toilet at 11:59 p.m., and the clock strikes midnight, it's the same shit, different day.
I've done that frequently.
You think you've ever done that? Taking the same shit in two different days?
Yeah. Yeah, I almost guarantee. You know,
same shit, different day.
I 100%.
I almost think I had to have at some point sat on the toilet before midnight and continued my shit.
One day into the other.
Yeah, but the saying isn't same puke, different day. Same shit, different day.
Yeah, but I've done both.
Nice.
I guarantee I've thrown up.
How many things have you done that continued? And I bet I've had the same sex different day.
I was about to say that. I bet you I've had sex at the same time.
Same game of Halo, different day.
I do know one time I kissed into the new year. Like,
yeah, I've done that. Same kiss, different day.
Yeah, different year. Same kiss, different year. I've done that before.
And all those typical guys are like, see you next year.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. Although I've probably said it. Fuck me.
I'll fuck you.
Okay. The other one, a paintball company and a skydiving company should come together and create a real-life battle royale game. Battle royale is really popular right now for anybody that's been a part of the Fortnite craze or the PUBG craze or any of those other things. You know, Call of Duty and Battlefront are both coming out with their battle royale versions of the game.
Right.
So that actually would be pretty fucking cool to see, like, a paintball game. You'd have to go through so much training, or not necessarily, even if you paid and had tandem jumpers and they just unhooked you once they hit the ground.
Right.
Like, you could have a bunch of professional skydiving people take you guys up, like 50 to 100 people. You all jump out, you tell the guy, oh, let's land over there, blah, 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 and you land, and then they unhook you, and then it becomes like a last man standing 100 versus everybody paintball game.
Do you think you could do that in teams? Do you think you could?
Oh, yeah, you could do teams.
Do you think
too.
You could correlate, though? I mean, on Xbox or PlayStation or computer, whatever you play the games on, do you think you could correlate in real life as well as you do in the game? Because even in the game, if you're away from your teammates, you can still communicate.
You guys all have walkie-talkie headsets.
Oh.
Or your paintball masks have audio feeds.
I say no masks. I say you play for pain.
Like, yeah, but that's dangerous. They got to have some sort of fucking... The organization that
goggles.
Does it. I mean, you can sign off on it and shit, but yeah, maybe goggles. But still, just wear a fucking paintball helmet and that could have your thing in it.
Pussies.
Another reason you should have the masks to prevent cheating. Your mask is also... You're wearing like a full suit. So then when you get hit, your screen blacks out. You can't fucking see anything.
Well, that's a lot of like... You're getting into technology for that then. Like
yeah, you're also having to rent a fucking plane to drive people over the fucking course.
But that's what I'm trying to say. I bet you
this is going
to
be a $10,000 game you play.
You can easily get probably a lowbrow plane company that does skydiving to get you to do
that. They wouldn't be able, even if you didn't do 100, even if you did them in small games, like 10 versus 10.
Yeah, 10 v 10. Or
10 people or 25 people at a time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could get someone to do that.
It's like a small little area.
You could literally find like a small airport and just tell them to build a base there. Like, just build a base in the center of it, and then people can be like, all right, well, here's how we're going to land in it. And then, boom, there you go. Now you have a paintball skydiving agency.
Yeah, a battle royale.
I bet you people would do that.
Battle IRL. That's the name.
Yeah, that is a good name. Battle IRL. Yeah, instead of Royale.
Battle Royale, Battle IRL. Flows pretty good.
It does.
We copyright this idea.
Yeah, we are copywriting.
We'll sell you the name. Just contact us.
Yeah. Trademarked.
I only got a couple more here. A lot of old people are completely comfortable talking to strangers on the street, but they're afraid of the strangers on the internet. But a lot of young people are totally comfortable talking to strangers on the internet, but don't want to talk to strangers on the street. I really talk to anybody anytime.
Yeah, I'll talk to anyone anywhere. Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of different. I feel like middle of the road, like young people will because they're naive. But like I kind of grew up when AOL Instant Messenger and everything was really blowing up. So now that I'm a little older, like I can tell when like a bot is messaging me or some fucked up shit is messaging me. And even like, you know, our aunt hit me up the other day and was like, hey, I think grandmother's Facebook's hacked, but we don't want to freak her out. What do we do? I'm like, change your fucking password.
Yeah.
Not that hard. She's like, okay, good. Because you know somebody old would be like, oh my God, they have my Facebook. They have my life. I'm going to die.
Yeah. They know my security. They know where I live. They're going to kill me.
My life's over.
Yep. I should just hang myself.
Yeah. And it's like, chill the fuck out. Change your password. And then the last one I got here is ants. You know what ants are?
I know what the insect ant is, yes. Yeah.
They always know what to do, and their teamwork skills are perfect, and they never have to hold a meeting.
Yeah, but they probably have forms of communication within their colonies.
Yeah, but I feel like ex facto, we need less meetings and just people that know what the fuck they're doing.
That's the problem, finding people to know what the fuck they're doing.
Let's just start.
Because we out. See, that's the problem. They don't overcomplicate things. Ants are trying to survive.
Yes.
We're not trying to survive anymore.
They're trying to thrive too, but we're trying to do. It's not so much.
We're trying to control. Like, people try to control and be dominant and have power, just like the money system. Like, five people control all of the money in the world.
Yeah.
Why? Why do they do that? Just because they're in control. That's why.
And that's what they want. We need society to just be like, just know what you're doing.
Yeah, just fucking live.
I don't know, though, because in a way, so I guess ants are kind of like Nazis. You're born for this. This is what you do. You fall into your role or you die. That's one of the bad ideas of the Nazis. Not saying all their ideas were bad, but that was a pretty bad one.
That is a pretty bad one.
I mean, some people like it. Some people think everybody should just share everything and that's how it goes, but then nobody could ever get. I feel like a socialist idea is really good for lazy people, not good for people that want to, like, do cool shit.
Yeah.
Because the people that do extra just have to give it away to the people that aren't doing shit.
Right.
Huh. And then the people that aren't doing shit are like, this is dope. But then you look at,
it's kind of like a give what you get. Give what you get is like a non-socialist form. Like, if you give a lot, you get a lot.
Yeah, that's how we are being, what do they call it? Globalist or no?
It's not communist.
No, it's not communist. Can't think of what it's called. No.
Not liberal.
Can't think of the name.
Democratic?
Nope. That's not the word. We're sounding really good right now.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That's why I'm just throwing out words.
Capitalist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Capitalist. You fucking dedicate your life to make a bunch of money, you get to make a bunch of money. If you don't do shit, you don't get shit.
Okay.
Capitalism. You capitalize on, you get to capitalize on your work.
Right.
But then socialist is, oh, everything for the society. If you do extra,
but I bet that you extra goes still, to the society. In socialism, there's still people on the top who are just raining shit down on everybody else.
That's the Nazis.
That's what I'm saying. In socialism, there's still like Russia's a socialist.
Yeah, it's all basic for the normal people.
Except for
it's
those
all
who are
basic.
In charge, they shit on everyone.
Yeah, but even if you're a normal person that's a genius, you're gonna be a basic person unless you enroll.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
But I also agree that capitalism, if you happen to make your way to the top, you just get to shit on everyone else. That's stupid.
Well,
no one should be able to have that much fuck you money.
Yeah, well, somebody should be able to make as much money as they want, but they shouldn't then be able to turn around and fuck over society.
Right.
You should be able to ascend, but you shouldn't be able to turn around and fuck over people behind you.
Right.
But at the same time, if you're a person that's not going to do shit, you shouldn't get shit.
And I agree with that. Yeah. If you're not going to work, then you shouldn't have anything. But if people do put in the work and
you
are
like
working,
you and me, we're dummies.
Goes, nah,
we're dummies,
you.
But there's times where we'll work a lot more and harder than other people.
Right.
But in a socialist society, they would just say, we don't care. That's going to go.
That would make me
And then we would
to
never
work.
Want to work
yeah.
harder. We would just do enough to do what we had to do.
Right.
And some people are cool with that because they're lazy and that's all they want to do. But it basically is like, you never have to do more. But you never get the chance to do more.
Hmm.
And that's why I kind of like what we got here. So shower thoughts getting pretty in depth.
They're going deep.
Yep. So let's go ahead and close this out with a beer review.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
As always, our beer reviews are brought to you by Barrel's Tap House in O'Fallon, Missouri, at the corner of Highway N and Highway K in O'Fallon, Missouri. They got 109 beers on tap, the most amazing food you can imagine, awesome people. You can catch all the games on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays. They got trivia many nights of the week. Follow them on Facebook at Barrel's Tap House O'Fallon, and check them out. They're fucking badass people. This week, we have Boulevard Brewing Company Jam Band Berry Ale with blueberry, red raspberry, and cherry. What do you think of it, Austin?
Well, it's a juicy berry trio, and personally, I think it's a little bit sweet.
Really? I think it's kind of sour.
I mean, that's kind of sour. It's got a 5.9% alcohol percentage.
Not bad.
Kind of high for what it tastes like.
It's probably just a bunch of bad fruit.
Yeah. Like, it's all fermented fruit.
We can't use all this. Just throw it in a beer.
It's wine.
Yeah.
It's wine that failed.
It's carbonated wine.
Yeah.
It's
wine. It's
shitty boxed wine in a can.
Yeah. That's essentially what this is. So, and I would say if somebody likes wine, this would be a beer to try.
Yeah, they probably like
this beer. It
literally
tastes like a red wine.
Yeah. Just a little more carbonation.
Yeah. It's a really cool can, though. The can is uplifting.
It kind of reminds me of Jimi Hendrix.
It does a little bit. It reminds me
Jam Band.
Yeah,
psychedelic.
It's super pink purple.
With a little bit of green.
With a little bit of green. It's just a neon fucking can. It dyes out to a dark color. And even the beer itself, if you look at it, when you look on the lip of the can,
it looks like a pink wine.
It looks like wine. Like, it does not look like a beer at all. It does not taste like a standard beer at all. It has a higher alcohol percentage than most beers, and this is wine.
Yeah.
It's wine.
It's carbonated wine.
That's what it is. This is a wine. So if you like wine and you want to say you like beer, go ahead and find yourself a Boulevard Jam Band Berry Ale.
Because to be honest, as the beer gets warmer, I actually enjoy it a little more because it reminds me of wine.
I do too, actually. Because when I had the first couple of ones when we pulled it out of the fridge, I was not too much of a fan. Now it almost tastes like grape, like juice. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm getting a grape taste to it now, and that's not even one of the things in it.
That's fucking crazy.
It's because it's fucking wine.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you going to give the Boulevard Brewing Co. Jam Band?
I am going to give it a 3.8.
Wow. It's a pretty low scale. What makes you want to give it that rating?
I'm giving it that rating because, one, I really don't see it as a beer. I see it more as just a
low-grade wine. So they're losing points for misconception.
Yeah, I think it's more of a low-grade wine that's being labeled as a beer. I'm sure it's brewed like a beer, but it's brewed with ingredients that are in wine. So it literally, like, I'm still not off that subject. It literally just tastes like wine.
Well, maybe that's the point of it. Maybe it's a beer for people to attract some of the wine people to drink beer.
Yeah, and that's why I'm giving it a low score, because it's not like normal beer.
Okay.
like I said, my domestics would be in the 5 range. The run-of-the-mill. Like a
5.5 is your typical normal.
To me, a 5.0 is Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, anything like that. So we're
setting the spectrum up really to be like, if you score 5 to 7, you got a good beer.
I would say 5 to 6 is run-of-the-mill. 7 to 8 is really good. Anything above 8 is really fucking good. Anything lower than 5 is meh. Opinionated.
Yeah. Well, so what did you give it?
I gave it a 3.8.
All right, 3.8. I'm going to go a little higher than you. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Oh.
As it sits a little bit, I really like the taste. I feel like the idea behind it is a clever idea to get some of the wine drinkers over to a beer, although it doesn't really taste like a beer. It's still something, if I ordered it, I'm not going to be that disappointed. And I'm actually a little bit of a sour fan when I order beers. I like to try the sour beers typically. So
sour beers? I could shower you in some beers.
But I wouldn't mind a shower beer. This would be a good shower.
Have
beer.
You ever had a shower beer?
I have.
Yeah, I do that every now and then.
Yep, shower beers. There's people that actually build fridges in their shower for shower beers. I'm actually
going to do that when I get a house.
Nice.
Mine too.
All right, so 3.8.
Yep, that's mine.
4.2. It's an average score of 4.0.
Yep.
All right, so that is our review of the Boulevard Brewing Company Jam Band. We hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Check out our podcast website, InsideThePocketPodcast.com. Got some articles up there. I'd really appreciate you guys checking out as we're trying to get into a little bit of the journalism to help us get a little more better at that when we want to start putting stuff out for you guys. Be sure and check out the podcast on Apple iTunes. Be sure and leave a review and check us out on SoundCloud where we upload those things. Hope you guys have a nice week. See ya.
Oh, yeah. Yeet!
Inside the pocket of a clown. It is a sad place to hang around. Just watching smiles turn into frowns.